Hi everyone, this is Luke Moroney for the Daily Property Search Podcast. And what I'd like to talk to you all about today is in regards to the removal of negative gearing debate that is out there in the marketplace right now. But before I get into this particular topic, just a disclaimer that this podcast is for general purposes only and should not be regarded as financial or legal advice. Make sure you get your own independent advice when it comes to your investing. So what do I talk about this particular topic of the removal of negative gearing? Well, it is a hot topic right now. We're coming up to our national elections and it is the Labor Party is putting through this policy to be implemented if they are elected into government. So the removal of negative gearing is what they're saying. They want to take away some of the tax advantages of investors that are out there, and they're not competing against first home buyers and people that want to own their own home. So that's their argument. And now we've got to remember that this policy was put through by then the Labor Party back in the mid 80s. And then soon after that, and only a couple of years later, was that policy then removed, was put back in place, I should say. And it was a fact that it didn't work then. I'm trying to think why putting in this policy now is going to be any different. And I want to explore those ideas today with you all in relation to some news articles that have been out today and some research that's been conducted by Louis Christopher from SQM Research. Now, they're quite predominant out in the media in terms of providing data and information about what's happening in property markets and doing forecasts on potential things that could arise if policies or if interest rates or if lending is changed or removed, or if things actually happening in the marketplace. So they've reported on and done a lot of work in the media today in and around this particular topic of negative gearing and what kind of impacts it will have. So I want to bring up a few topics and go through some of what the ideas that I foresee on the back of the research that was done. So my first point is around that rents did drop by 23% in the Melbourne market and 33% in the Sydney market between 1985 and 1987. That was on the back of the removal of negative gearing at the time that Labor removed, which was their policy. And so it had a massive impact in regards to increasing rents. And when you think about what kind of impact that has on someone who's a first home buyer looking to get into the market, but they're not able to save any money because their rents are constantly rising, or they're having a massive increase in the amount of rent that they need to pay. So how do they save up money to then get into a property that they can potentially buy? Because the investors still won't have competition if there's no first home buyers or other people buying their own homes in a situation where rents are rising. So that really needs to be reflected upon. Because it's a case that investors, if they're not having the tax savings in there, that they're going to have to find ways to put up the rents or to gain profit out of these properties, or they'll have to sell themselves. And they're in a situation that they might put those properties back on the market and sell at a loss because of policies being introduced like this that is then severely going to impact the property market. So you might have investors actually looking to sell if this negative gearing policy is implemented and the removal of negative gearing takes place. And then that means there's less stock of rental properties. And that's a reason why between 1985 and 1987, there was severe increases around Australia. I'm just highlighting those two markets in Sydney and Melbourne, especially on the back of the negative gearing policy that was put in place at that time. So you got to think about what kind of impacts that would have on individual renters, on individual investors. Are they not going to see the tax savings there and then get to a position, well, this investment is actually not making me any money. I'm just going to sell it. It's just too much hard work. So that's the thought process in mind for investors if this sort of policy comes, right? Is there going to be a frenzy in activity of investors, whether it is to buy additional properties before negative gearing gets placed in, or if it's for them to sell the property knowing that they might not have the savings down the track? So it'll be interesting if they look to grandfather that policy of existing dwellings that have been purchased by investors. And that's the likelihood of what would happen. My second point on this negative gearing debate is that there's likely to be less transactions, or there might be a situation that there'll be a flurry of transactions prior to the ruling getting placed in. And then we might have a situation where there's very little after the date of the deadline that's been introduced by the Labor government. Now, there's a lot of ambiguities about what's actually going to happen. And what we've got to really think about is what kind of impacts can some of these policies, or some of the wording on policies or the deadlines on policies, have an effect on us all? And this policy will really affect everyone. And as I said earlier in the first point about rents, about investors and their ways to make profit on their investments, they previously may have done it through tax savings. Now they're going to have to look to increase rents. So we really want to look at the timing of the policy when, if the Labor Party do get put in, and there is a situation where there is like a mini budget, and then they explore that idea of actually putting that policy in place. And then how long does it actually take before that policy is then implemented into legislation, and we now have a situation where we need to change some of our strategies? And what is kind of the less transactions going to have an effect on the broader market or the property industry? We're already seeing some of those less transactions take place right now because of the lending restrictions. And there's real estate agents that are doing far less business than they were 3 or 4 years ago. And that's having a real big impact on their wages, and they're looking for alternatives when it comes to employment. So there's some that have already left the industry. Others are looking, and what I heard about through social media today, looking to take lines of credit on their individual properties that they live in to support that business in the short term. And maybe is that enough for them to continue to sustain their business, or are they going to have to shut down? All a consideration that we do need to make in terms of the policy changes. My point number three is developers will probably tend to look at some of these build to rent schemes. And you know, if there is a situation that rents do increase, then they'll look to take advantage of that situation. And instead of being in place to actually put those properties on the market for sale, where there's not a lot of competition out there at the moment and there's lending restrictions and there might be not an availability of competition for them to get higher prices, they might build that and just rent properties out. So that could be a way of the future for developers to look at continuing on with their profitability. But it's developers tend to look at projects to try and get a fairly quick turnover so that they can take out that cash and move it on to the next property. In this way, things get a lot slower. And you kind of think about what, like I said in point number two about less transactions, what's that going to mean for a supply of properties in future for a market like Sydney or Melbourne or Brisbane and other places in Australia? It might mean that there is then becomes an undersupply and there's not enough development out there. Now, we're in probably oversupply situations in some of our major capital cities when it comes to the unit market, but this might change things. And then who is actually going to benefit out of that? Because affordability will then take place, or unaffordability will then take place, and first home buyers or people looking for their own home are still not going to be able to pay those exorbitant prices. So we've just got to think about all the aspects of what's happening. My point number four is that people get caught up in these off-the-plan units. So these are going to be built And they're going to look for those tax savings. Investors are going to look for those tax savings. So the Labor Party are looking to abolish negative gearing tax incentives for existing property and just remain it on for new builds. So are people going to be in a situation for looking those off-the-plan apartments when exploring the negative gearing benefits on new properties only? Now, we've all seen what's happened with the Opal Tower and the issues that have raised because of the high-rise building defects and ongoing issues in not only the Opal Tower, but a number of buildings around Sydney. They're just not all reported about. But speaking to various people in industries and trades that go and inspect some of these properties, they're finding that buildings are not fire compliant and there's a fire order on these buildings for a number of years, and council are now putting pressure on them to actually have the work being upgraded to the standard that it should be. And you've got a situation where owners then have to fork out $10, $20, $30, $40, maybe even $100,000 for a special levy to fix up some of these works. And now that's just a single incident of fire safety, but what else is going on in the building? Is there waterproofing issues in various areas of the building? Is there render cracking and falling? Are we've got other safety issues that are concerns for the property? So all these things are in the unit market, and I think people are kind of staying away from them a little because of what's happened with the Opal Tower. So there are some big concerns out there in this space as well. So that's a little bit in regards to the removal of negative gearing debate. You will see a lot of articles if you Google Louis Christopher from SQM Research that he's reported about today or in the future about negative gearing and his thoughts and feelings around. And this is some of the research that we get a hold of and look through on a constant basis to see where our direction is about what the research company is saying. And then what's the response from individual consumers and the media, the mainstream media, and how they're reporting about some of these things. So it's important to take abreast of what's going on and see what all that research in terms of economists and data and mainstream media and consumers are saying so that we can all relate it back how we're going to plan and strategize our property investing in future. Now, with all this doom and gloom and potential things that could happen in the market, it's still presenting itself with a lot of opportunities out there. And I talk about some of these things like negative gearing being removed and tighter lending. But if you're in a position to actually borrow money right now, it could be a really good time for you to get in and acquire some property at discounted rates where you have an abundance of choice out there and where people more and more are going to be in a situation where they might have to discount their properties because if they get to a point of being a highly motivated seller, then you can snap up some bargains. So watch out for that when it comes to your own property investing. And if you'd like to chat about this particular topic or other topics in terms of your own personal investing, do give me a call on 0400-332-377. Thanks for tuning in.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.